Welcome to another inspiring message from the Cornerstone Church Enugu.
Let us take the first session for today, and it's by Pastor Tudi Hiku Gambo. Please stand up and welcome him.
Somebody shout hallelujah. Amen.
I want more of you. I want more of you. Jesus, the more I know you, is the more I want to know.
Wonderful Holy Spirit, we are grateful again for gathering us at your feet. We thank you because you are here to transform our lives. You are here to do a quick work in the midst of us. Thank you because the shout of the King shall be heard even in the midst of us this morning. Do unto us as you will. Do unto us as you desire. We are just vessels in your hands. We are channels that you want to pass through. Therefore, Lord, we say, come, Holy Ghost, and do that which only you can do in our midst. Thank you, blessed Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Let the people of God say amen. God bless you. You can take your seat. I want to again appreciate the lead pastor, the servant of the Lord over this house, for another opportunity to minister God's word to us this morning. I want to bless God for all the ministers of God that are also here this morning. I trust that in the little time I will be sharing with us this morning, you will be charged. The Lord is going to put this burden in your heart that you will know that creation is waiting for you. It's waiting for me. There is going to be a manifestation of God where you work, in your school, in that your community. There is going to be a manifestation of the glory of God in your life in the name of Jesus Christ. Please, can you give me Revelation 22 verse 17, the Amplified Version, if you have the Amplified Version. I'll be talking to us briefly this morning on the topic that says the spiritual authority of the priest. Or you can say the spiritual authority of the believer. Okay? Because when we talk about the priest, I told us yesterday, we are the priest. We are not talking about the setting in the Old Testament. We are a royal what? Priesthood. A peculiar people, a nation. So when I'm talking about the priest, I want you to put yourself there. I only use the Old Testament setting to bring a picture to show you that that one is just the shadow. But the reality is here before us. Praise the name of the Lord. So, what happens? How can a priest get to that place of spiritual authority and power? There are certain things that God requires from the priest before the priest can begin to operate in such dimension. Thank you. Revelation chapter 22 verse 7. That's where the scripture for the theme for this convention came from. Now let's look at it. The Holy Spirit and the bride, that is the church, I told us yesterday, the true Christians, say come. And let him who is listening say what? Come. And let everyone come who is thirsty. I'm sure that every one of us here have come thirsty and hungry. If you are here and you feel you have arrived, you have come to the point where you don't need God, you are satisfied with your level, this scripture is not for you. This scripture is for people like me and many here that are what? That are thirsty, who is painfully conscious of his need of those things by which the soul is refreshed. Some of us will be refreshed this morning. Supported and strengthened. And whoever earnestly desires to do it, let him come. Take appropriate and drink the water of life without cost. I told us yesterday that this verse talks about a deep intimacy with the Father. Come and drink. Come and sit. Come and listen. Come and get refreshed. All these are statements that suggest intimacy. Praise the Lord. So we are going to look at, I don't want to go back to what we did yesterday, but I told us yesterday we talked about the tabernacle in the Old Testament. And I said it's divided into how many parts? Three parts. Can you give me one? Good. Good. The Holy of Holies, the holiest of all. And I told us in the outer court, that's where you find mixed Christians. You find a crowd. But the more deeper and closer and intimate you get with the Holy Spirit, the more you partner with Him, the more the crowd reduces. As you get to the holy place, it is no longer the crowd. As you get to the holy place, you just meet few people, the Levites. But let me tell you, as you proceed further to the holiest of all, you go alone. No crowd, nothing, you go alone. So I want us to look at the priest today and the garment of the priest and how the priest gets this kind of authority. You know, in Exodus chapter 19 and Exodus chapter 20 and chapter 33, the man of God mentioned it, that when Moses went up to the mountain to spend time with God, do you know that when he landed, when he came back, he became exactly as the person he went to spend time with? When you spend time with God, you become exactly like him in his nature, in his likeness, and in his character. The Moses that went up was not the same Moses that came down. Are you aware? The Moses that went up could relate freely with them. But the one that came down, they have to plead that we cannot see you further. You have to look for something to cover yourself. What a glory. What a level of transformation. I see God taking you from one degree of glory to another, even this morning, in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, I told you, the moment the priest is ready to enter into the holiest of all, where there is no need for the natural light, there is no need for sunlight, there is no need for the lamp or the oil to be put inside the lamp for it lighting the holy place. In the holiest of all, the glory of God becomes the light in that place. That is why that place is covered. There is no window, it's full of darkness. So that the moment the priest gets into it, fully dressed, what happens? The glory of God comes in the form of a cloud. And do you know, the moment the priest is coming out from the holiest of all, he becomes exactly as the cloud of glory. He will come out, and then the people say, we cannot see him because he's clothed in glory. Let me tell you, in these last days, for you to exercise this authority as a priest that we are, we must spend time with the Holy Spirit. A lot of us wants to do the work of the Lord, without spending time with the God of the work. And it is dangerous. You must first spend time with the God of the work. It is in the place of spending time with the God of the work that you gather the spiritual stamina. And he gives you the strategy. He said he will teach your hands to fight and your hands to war and your fingers to fight. It is in that place of intimacy with him that he will begin to tell you as you launch out, this and this and this is what I'm expecting you to do. But if you don't spend time with him, there will be trouble outside. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now, we are going to look at the priest. And we are also going to look at how the priest will come to that estate where he begins to exercise God's authority upon the earth. Amen. And I trust that God will help us in Jesus' name. Now, one of the things, some vital points about a priest, I want to just mention them, but I will explain just few. Some vital points you need to know about the priest. In Hebrews chapter 5 and 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9. Hebrews chapter 5 and 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9. A priest does not call nor appoint himself. It's very important. A priest does not call himself. And he didn't appoint himself. That is why even in the Old Testament setting, it is not everybody in the crowd that goes to the holy place, O holiest of all, to begin to perform these ceremonial things that God said. If you go there, you will die. So, God have to choose. God told Moses, choose, tell Aaron to choose from among his sons and other tribes, tribe of Levi. Let them become the Levites. Let them become the burden bearers. They are the ones that carry the Ark of the Covenant. And the Ark of the Covenant is not carried with bare hands. You put it upon your shoulder, which speaks about responsibility, leadership, service. Praise the name of the Lord. So a priest, one thing you must know is that you don't call yourself. Say, why we are yet sinners? He what? He died for us. He chose us. He called us. The Bible says, and Jesus called the 12. They did not call themselves. The reason why we have a lot of people messing up today in the kingdom is because many called themselves. Maybe for material gain. Some feel if I venture into pastor work, I learn that there is money there. So let me just go in. And they go in and they mess up. They begin to do a lot of horrible and terrible things. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So a priest must first be called and appointed by God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, the second thing you must know, the first point I mentioned can be found in Hebrews chapter 5 verse 4. He called, God calls and appoints a priest. The second point you need to know about a priest is, a priest is taken or chosen from among men. Very important. Hebrews chapter 5 verse 1. It means that God called us out from darkness into what? Into light. He called us from our family, from our friends, our community, and then he chose us so that later on we can be of great benefit to that same society that he picked us from. Meaning, God did not just call you for your own sake. He called you to be a blessing to the wider world. He called you to be a blessing to the people around you. Praise the name of the Lord. But first, God has to remove you from there. Do you know why God has to remove you? Because these people, you grew up together with them. They know you. They understand you. And they will not be able to appreciate you if God did not take you out. So what God does is he separates you. He takes you out from among them. He takes you to his own wilderness, to his own school of the spirit, and he begins to work on you. By the time he brings you back in the midst of them, they cannot argue it. Because the difference will be clear. There will be distinction. They will say, yes, we used to know him when he was with us before. We knew that he used to do this, but now he has changed.
Now we can attest that something has happened to him. So God will separate you from their midst and then later on bring you back. Before God could walk through Moses, he had to separate Moses. He had to make Moses to run away from Egypt. And then God went, took Moses to the wilderness. And Moses that was thinking that he's strong, he was thinking that he knows how to kill an Egyptian. He feels he's strong in his own sight or eye. When God begins to expose his weakness, when God begins to work on him, Moses could not believe that all these things were deposited inside of him. He was like, what? You mean I have this? I have this character? And God began to work. God said, the way you are, I cannot send you to go and deliver these people. I need to deliver you first. I need to work on you. So for God to send us, he has to call us, take us to his own, refinery, to work on us. Then he can say, all right, let's go. Do you know, even when God finally said, Moses, you can go to Egypt and deliver these people for me. As he was going in Exodus chapter 4, when you read, I think, from verse 16 to 18. As Moses was going, an angel of the Lord appeared on the road with big knife and wanted to what? To kill Moses. And I said, what kind of ambush is this one? God was the one that said to Moses, go. And then God now sent an angel, go and finish this man for me. Do you know what God was trying to say there? Moses got married to a woman who is not a Jew. Zipporah, right? An Ethiopian woman. So maybe, in the Jewish culture, you have to circumcise your child. So because he got married to an Ethiopian woman, the child was just growing and the woman maybe did not see any need for Moses to circumcise, the child. Though she knew, she understand the rules in the Jewish culture, but they did not take it seriously. And Moses said, no problem. But before God, it was a serious matter. Do you know, as Moses was going, God discovered that there is still an unfinished business. And with this unfinished business, he will not permit him to go and deliver these people because he will be confronted by demonic powers and principalities that will challenge his authority. So God decided to attack Moses on the way. And the Bible says when the angel appeared, Moses went down as though he was dead. And then it dawned on Zipporah. She said, I can understand why God wants to finish my husband. The word of God says she carried knife. She went and cut the foreskin of the son. And then when she did that, the anger of God was lifted up. Let me tell you, that's why I kept saying yesterday, there are things God tolerated you to do last year. He will not tolerate it this year. Because as you grow, as you get closer in him and to him, I'm telling you the truth, there are things when you do, it's an issue to God. It may not be an issue to another brother in the same church with you. You may be in the same choir, the same church, the same group. That person is doing the same thing that God is saying don't do. And you are saying God, but that person is doing it. To whom much is given, much is expected. Don't compare. Your level with that person's level may be different. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That is why it's very important we take note of these things I'm saying. Number three, a priest must be an able man. A priest must be fitted and responsible for such service. You'll find that in 1 Chronicles chapter 9 verse 13. 1 Chronicles chapter 9 verse 13. When the Lord wants to use a priest, God told Moses, make sure the person you are choosing as a priest, he must be fit. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So God is not raising a weak church. He's not raising a weak people. He's raising a mighty army. Go and read Joel chapter 2 very well. The description of that army is so horrific and terrible that this army in Joel chapter 2 has never been seen from the foundations of the earth. And he's talking about me and you. God will do a work in our midst that the world has never seen. In fact, in that same Joel chapter 2, the Bible says, when you try to stop this army, you will not be able to. Because the moment you want to close the gate, they will pass through the wall. If you want to block the wall, they will pass through the roof. They cannot be stopped. When God is doing a mighty work in Enugu, the devil wants to stop it. He will open it in Taraba. Before the enemy comes, he's in Abia. Before you know, the enemy will become confused. I'm telling you the truth. God is doing a mighty and a quick work in this generation that cannot be stopped. But he needs people, he needs vessel, he needs priests to be able to carry on this function. Now, only the priest has the power to minister before the Lord. Numbers chapter 3 verse 10. Only the priest has the power to minister. Can you imagine that God has given us the power? He has given us the grace, the opportunity, the opening to minister before him. It is not everybody that has that privilege. If you are not born again, you don't have the privilege of ministering before the Lord. Ministering before the Lord is, it talks of volumes. It talks about having intimacy with God. And it is not everybody that has that privilege. But as a priest in God, in Christ, you have that privilege to what? To minister before him. Hallelujah. A priest must separate from others. He must be separate. He must separate himself from others. Find that in Leviticus chapter 22. That is why God told Moses to tell the priests and the Levites that they must not possess any physical inheritance. For God is their what? Is their inheritance. They don't mingle. It's not everybody they mingle with. But a lot of us, we want God to use us. Every small occasion, you are there. Every small this one, you are there. Every small this one, you are there. I'm not saying it's bad to attend some of these things. But let me tell you, the more closer you get with God and in God, some things will no longer interest you. Some things will no longer matter. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When I come to the place where the priests need to spend time with God, I will explain some few things. That's where I will round up today. So a priest must separate himself from others. A priest is a sin bearer. It's a sin bearer. Numbers chapter 18, verse 1 to 7. Numbers 18, 1 to 7. It means you carry the burden of others. As ministers, let me tell you, only God knows what we go through every day. Only God knows. So a priest is a burden bearer. He carries the burden of the people. Now, a priest must follow what God said, not what men say. And it's very important. Sometimes, as servants of God, we are put under pressure. Even when God is telling us, this is what we should do, we'll go and do the other way around because of the pressure from people. But a priest must not do what people say. He must do what God said. You'll find that in Leviticus chapter 21. Verse 1 to 23. Leviticus 21, verse 1 to 23. A priest must be somebody that brings down the fear of God in the midst of the people. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 18 to 21. Exodus 20, 18 to 21. When Moses was reading the Ten Commandments. Praise the Lord. There was fear in the camp. When they saw the display of God's glory, there was fear in that camp. A lot of things are happening today in the body of Christ. The fear of God is completely gone. Praise God. But we are in the days where God is raising unto himself men that will fear him. Not only will they fear him, but through them, the fear of God will be instilled in the body of Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. A priest is a prophet, is a voice that gives direction. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 18 to 22. Deuteronomy 18, 18 to 22. You will find that. I told you yesterday with all humility, I said like in my state, for example, almost all the politicians, from the governor till the least, before they take any decision about their political career, they have to consult me. Not because I'm anything, but because I am a voice. The more you get closer to God, He makes you a voice. You become somebody that will give direction, even politically. And I told you, even in the Old Testament, look at when David was to be appointed king, or to be chosen. Who went to anoint him? It was a prophet, Samuel. Look through the pages of the Old Testament. You will realize, or you will agree with me, that before God takes any action, He has to minister to His prophet. Amos chapter 3 verse 7 says, surely God cannot do anything, as mighty and powerful God is. He cannot take any decision without consulting His servants, the prophets. Let me tell you, very soon, God is going to take us up. We are going to become major spiritual stakeholders in the affairs of God. When God wants to take decision on the earth, He will call us in a conference room. He will say, pastor this, brother this, sister this, I want you to be part of this meeting. I want to do something in Enugu. What do you think about it? You say, yes, Lord, it's a good thing. And then the Lord will say, well, go and speak my mind. Be the voice in Enugu. We are going to become major spiritual stakeholders. We are going to be deciding things in this nation, in the entire world. We will speak because we are the voice of God in this generation. And in that Deuteronomy 18, he said, how will you know that that person is a true prophet? He said, what he or she says will come to pass. Listen to me. The word of God in your spirit is true and is genuine. It cannot make mistake. And it is powerful. It is very, very powerful. That is why we need to spend time with the Word. As we spend time with the Word stands as a mirror, and the Word begins to rub Christ on us. And before you know, we are being transformed into His image and His likeness. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, another point is, the priest is in charge of the altar. Numbers 18 verse 7. The priest is in charge of the altar. By altar, I don't really mean the physical altar in the church here. Even in your own space, where you are, at the family level, in your place of work, you can build an altar. You can make a covenant with God. You say, in this place, because I am the light here, nothing evil is permitted to exist here. Because you are a priest, you build an altar in your school. You say, in my school, in this class, nothing will happen that is evil or that is wrong. You build an altar there because you are a priest. Praise the name of the Lord. I'm only giving you some things that characterizes a priest before I will conclude with how you can begin to operate in these things I have mentioned. The authority. How do you access? How do you get the authority? Hallelujah. Amen. Are you getting blessed? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now the priest must wash his garments. Numbers chapter 8 verse 7. The priest must wash his garment. And I told us yesterday, garment speaks of character. Amen. Daily, we must ask God to work on our characters, to work on our anger, to work on our envy, to work on our jealousy. Do you know that we have people, they love God, but when it comes to jealousy, jealousy is very active in them. They are not happy when another person is progressing, and yet they are believers. Some, they can stand and pray in tongues, they can do whatever, but when they are angry, when the beast in them comes out, you will not believe that it's the same brother, the same sister that is praying in tongues like this. That is why when Satan discovered that Moses had anger in him, Satan carefully followed him for 40 years until he got him. Satan doesn't give up. When he noticed that Moses had anger by killing that Egyptian, Satan said, I know how to get him. He followed him. He followed him. Until it got to a point where God says, speak to the rock. What did Moses do? He hit the rock. And thank God, even hitting the rock did not stop water from flowing. God still gave them water. But God said, because you have done this, we have issues with you. The enemy, when he observes and he notices a weakness in you that you don't allow the Lord to work on, the enemy will use that weakness to bring you down. Now, how can you deal with such weakness? It's as you keep dwelling in his presence. Your own nature is being taken away and being replaced by his own nature. In the nature of God, there is no anger. In the nature of God, there is no evil jealousy or wicked kind of jealousy. You know, God says he's a jealous God. And there is a dimension. It's not the one I'm talking about. When you sit with him, you commune, you have interaction with the Holy Spirit. There are things that noise making and complaint will not tell you, will not reveal to you. But when you spend time with God, it's easier for you to access those things. Sometimes when I spend time, do you know that this meeting, God had already told me things that will happen before I came. He had already shown me where in the place of spiritual intercourse and interaction. When you spend time, he begins to reveal deep things to you. Hallelujah. So, the next point, the priest must shave his hair. In that same Numbers chapter 8 verse 7, the priest must shave his hair. What does it mean to shave your hair? It means you must cut off your ideology, your doctrine, your way of thinking. In the military, I remember when we went for training. Okay? Before I voluntarily disengaged. When we went for training, they told us, if you are entering into the training school, shave all your hair. So when we went to the camp, we asked one of the instructors, sir, what is the meaning of shaving this hair? He said, good. He said, shaving your hair means removing every civilian mentality. Are you hearing me? Removing every civilian mentality. He said, any hair that will grow in this camp belongs to the military. That is, but it's something to learn from. Said, Moses, tell the priest to shave their hair. Let the priest shave his hair. Shave your mentality. Shave your ideology. Some of us are believers, but we are still holding on to some things. And you cannot exercise spiritual authority when you are holding on to some things that are yours. You must shave your hair. I trust that the Holy Spirit will help us to shave that hair. In the name of Jesus Christ. The next point, the priest must be holy at all times. Leviticus 22 verse 3. You must be holy, you must be pure, you must be clean, you must continue to trust God to sanctify you, to purge you, to work on you. By holiness, I don't mean go and remove earring, go and do the. I don't really mean that. I mean right inside of you, there is this desire to please God. There is this zeal. There is this passion. You just love God and fear him. The priest must be holy, not just for one day, at all times. The next point, the priest must remain in the sanctuary, the presence of God daily. Leviticus chapter 21 verse 12, Leviticus 21 12 says, Moses tell them, the priest must remain in my presence daily. That means you must not go on break. Hallelujah. You must not what? Go on break. You must remain in the sanctuary. Praise the name of the Lord. The next point, a priest must not defile or corrupt himself. You'll find that in Leviticus 21. A priest is not permitted to corrupt or defile himself. You must trust God to live a good life. You must trust God to live a righteous life. The next point, a priest must not approach God's presence carelessly, take note of the word carelessly. In Leviticus 16 verse 2, Leviticus 16 verse 2, a priest must not approach the presence of God. That means you must have reverence for God. You must fear the Lord. If you fear the Lord, what that means is, when you go before the Lord to have time with Him, don't harbor unforgiveness, bitterness, hatred, malice, anger in your heart. If you go like that, you are approaching God carelessly, and it is dangerous. The kind of people God is raising is, see, the work ahead of us is so much that you don't have time for what people say. This one said this about me. That one said this about me. Even our master, our mentor, our real coach, the pattern son, was accused. Yet he didn't say anything. Who are you that you think you will not be accused? You have each time somebody just says something, you go to pray, say, prayer is not moving. To eat because of somebody, you cannot eat. Man of God, you don't understand what the person said. Yes, I don't understand. But one thing I understand is they said worse things to Jesus. And yet, he remained quiet. He had the power to even bring down fire from above. But he chose to go that way. So who are you not to humble yourself, to submit to that kind of discipline that God is allowing you to pass through? You must not approach God's presence carelessly. Now, there is one beautiful thing about the priest. The priest is the only one, when he comes to that holiest of all once in a year, he is the only one that is permitted by God to declare the year of Jubilee. And year of Jubilee, the year of Jubilee is 50 years. So after 50 years, God will now instruct that all the prisoners and captives should be set free. And we are in our year and season of Jubilee. Whatever that has tied you down in this convocation, in this holy convocation, God is setting you free. Whatever that has limited you, whatever that has been a barrier, an embargo to you, God is lifting that thing up in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, I'm looking at the garment of the priest as I conclude. The garment of the priest. Now, I'm coming to the real matter. And I want you to pay attention in these few minutes. The garment of the priests. You'll find that in Exodus 28, verse 1 to 5. Exodus 28, 1 to 5. And Exodus 39. I'm giving you so that you can go and study. Exodus 39. And Leviticus chapter 16, verse 32. Leviticus 16, verse 32. Now, the moment God sees the priest fully dressed, the priest don't need to even say a word. The cloud of glory will just descend. By just seeing the priest in his regalia, the cloud of glory just what? Just descend. Now, the garment of the priest has many layers. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It has many layers. He'll put this one, he'll put the other one. But it is made up of five colors. This scripture I gave you will show you. The garment of the priest is made up of five colors. And all these colors speaks of something significant in our spiritual walk with God. Now, one of the colors is blue. Then it has a golden color. It has a purple color, scarlet, and fine lining. Finally, I think it's white, right? Yes, it's white. I know that some of this teaching may be, I trust God to help us to understand. But the garment of the priest is very, very important because the garment of the priest itself is a symbol of authority. And we are talking about the authority of a priest. How a priest can command the presence of God. It is through the garment. And I say garment is character. Now, as God begins to work on your character and my character, it will get to a point. Because of the work that God is doing in us, we don't have to make noise. If we speak, God will honor it. If we speak, God will respect it because we have over time built a relationship with Him. Now, the blue color speaks of heavenly nature. Amen? The blue color. Each time God sees that blue color on the garment of the priest, He say, wow, the heavenly nature. Now, the golden color speaks of the beauty and expensiveness of the priest. It means we are purchased, we are expensive commodity before the Lord. Amen? So the golden color speaks of the beauty, the radiance, the glory of a priest. The purple color speaks of royalty. Amen? The purple color speaks of royalty. That's why I say we are a royal suit. Amen. Then the scarlet, which is the third, is it the third one or fourth one? It speaks of the mark of the blood of Jesus. The red, scarlet is red. It speaks of the mark of the blood. So when God sees that color on the garment of the priest, He has no option. It shows Him, it presents to Him the sacrificial blood of Jesus. What He does is He just comes down. Hallelujah. You can imagine you as a priest, you are moving, and the mark of the blood of Jesus upon your head. Can any demon touch you? Can any sickness touch you? Hallelujah. The last color, fine lining. It talks about purity, holiness, righteous nature of the priests. Amen. Then, one of the things you see also in the garment of the priest is the breastplate. We saw that, or we can find that in Ephesians chapter 6 too. The breastplate. Okay? Now, it's a weapon of warfare to protect somebody against, you know, any weapon that will be shot at. But in the case of the priest, it talks about nursing mother. Breastplate. Are you hearing me? The ability for the priest to nurture, to feed the sheep. And also, not only to feed the sheep, but also that breastplate serves, like I said, as a defensive weapon. God will help us in Jesus' name. Now, another thing you will see in that garment is the effort. Is it? Did I pronounce it well? Effort. Effort. Now, on that effort, it's like something like stones. They will put six here. Here. Six here. So the priest will be like this, carrying heavy six efforts here and six here, which speaks of carrying the burden of the 12 tribes of Israel. So a priest is a body bearer and carrier. Can you see why God, in that your family, chose you? Because in that your family, He wants you to carry their burden. He wants you to carry it on you and take it to the place of intercession until God answers. Hallelujah. So the priest has a lot of responsibility. You'll find that in Leviticus chapter 8 verse 7. Leviticus 8, 7. Another thing you find on that garment is a rope with bell. Ring the one day bell, like in school. Gling, 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 you ring the bell. You find a rope with bell. And the bell has to make sound. So when the high priest gets into the holiest of all, he doesn't talk. It's making melody, making sound. It brings the glory of God as well. Hallelujah. You'll find that in Exodus 28, verse 34 to 35. Exodus 28, 34 to 35. Then another thing you find in that garment is a golden signet. That is a crown. And on that crown is written, holiness unto the Lord. That is like a turban. They will write it very big here on that crown that the high priest will be holiness unto the Lord. So the moment God sees that, what happens? He comes down in his power and his glory. Exodus 28, verse 36 to 38. That's where you'll find that. Exodus 28, 36 to 38. Then the garment, that is where the power now comes. The garment of the priest must be anointed with oil. That means after the complete dressing, before he gets into the holiest of all, they have to put oil on what? On the garment. You'll find that in Leviticus chapter 8, verse 30. Leviticus chapter 8, verse 30. Leviticus 8, verse 30. Now, I'm coming to the conclusion. How then can you access this spiritual authority over demons, over death, over sickness, over poverty, over whatever that is confronting you? How can you access this spiritual authority? Number one, through deep intimacy with the Holy Spirit. Deep intimacy with what? With the Holy Spirit. Now, what do I mean by deep intimacy with the Holy Spirit? That is spending not just time with Him, but quality time. Quality time with the Holy Spirit. In Luke chapter 10, verse 41, when Jesus came to the house of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, you know, Martha was busy in the kitchen. She even came and told Jesus, Jesus, can't you just say a word to Mary to come and assist me? What did Jesus say? He said to Martha, Martha, you are distracted and worried and bothered about many details. So many things is troubling you. But one thing is what? It's needful. And that's what Mary chose. What was that thing? To sit down at the feet of the master and receive instruction, receive direction, receive correction, receive refreshing, receive restoration. Now, a lot of us, we only spend time with our handsets. Do you know that there was a time the Holy Ghost had to tell me, off your handset for 1 week? I said, what happened? He said, it's like your handset is beginning to take your attention. And what was I doing with the handset? Sometimes I do a little posting about the things of God on Facebook. It's not as if it was a spiritual thing, but yet that spiritual thing was interfering with him. He said, off your handset for 1 week. And I did that. Praise the Lord. Some of us are so addicted to our handset that our handset controls us. Do you know that some, you are in the church or you are worshiping, you do like this. You are so, your handset has so programmed your mind. You spend time. Imagine you can spend 3-4 hours. He said, what are you doing? No, it's not that I'm just doing spiritual things. I'm watching a message. Do you know that you can be watching preaching on YouTube and yet the Holy Ghost will say it's a distraction? Praise the name of the Lord. So spend time with Him and avoid anything. Please minimize the way, even your handsets, the way you use it. Sometimes it can be troublesome. Amen. Some of us can have hypertension, I'm telling you, because of handsets. Yes. The time you are supposed to spend using your handsets, spend it with the Holy Ghost. Spend time with the Holy Spirit. And you will see great things happening in your life. I'm telling you. You see, you want to get information on what is happening in Nigeria on social media. The best place to get information is with the Holy Spirit. Do you know? Check my Facebook page. There are things that the Holy Ghost showed me a year before it happened in my state. He showed me the person that will win. He showed me the trouble that will come. They are busy looking for news in the social media. The latest news is with the Holy Ghost. Go to Him. Have time with Him. He will tell you, in the month of December, something will happen. He will tell you, this thing will happen in this nation. He will show you things. But a lot of us, we don't spend time with Him. We only spend time with our handsets. Our handsets have replaced the place of the Holy, even in church. even in church. Do you know that some of us, like I said, our handset are so programmed that when we are sleeping, we are thinking, before you know, 2 a.m., he's up. He will check. Some of us, even when we go to pray, we say, okay, I will not put it on last week, I will put it on vibration. As he's doing, grrr, Father, I thank you. Holy Spirit, I love you. Grrr. Oh, what is this again? You are distracted. See, if the Holy Spirit says, spend time with me, that is where your love and your loyalty will be tested. You want to go far. You want God to use you. You want the power of God. You want to exercise authority. Spend time with Him. When you spend time with Him, as you go out, you become an Iroko tree outside. What is strange to others will not be strange to you, because in the place of spiritual intercourse, He has given you the information. And nothing takes you by surprise. Others will be saying, what is happening? You know it. Another thing that takes away our attention is television. Television. Watching. Some of you can watch Z World and the other world and the other one and the other one for hours. One day I was listening to one, she put credit of about 2,000 naira. Just gisting one of her friends. I went to the hospital to pray for some people. A nurse was talking. Ziwa, you need to see how Karash, how this one did it. She said, until I left the hospital, she was still speaking. I said, what is the meaning of this? I'm not saying it's bad, but let me tell you, as you get closer to the Holy Ghost, I'm telling you, some things, like I said, will not be interested to you. It will not interest you. Not that they are bad, but his, it will not be a priority to you. The only thing that will carry you your attention is His presence. Just to be with Him. Do you know that sometimes I will lock myself, I will tell my wife, carry the key as you are going out. I can spend a week, I don't go out. A week completely off my, don't even on my phone, so that somebody will call and say, we need this one urgently. No, off it. If they want to call, let them call through you. Tell them I'm not available. 1 week. By the time I come out, I'm telling you, by the time I come out, sickness, demons will begin to run. That's the beauty of it. So when you spend time with God, like I said earlier, you will become exactly as the person you are spending time with. When you spend time with God, He begins to tell you, you know what? Remove this your clothes. Remove this your garment. And He gives you His own. And then you begin to behave like Him. You begin to talk like Him. You begin to act like Him in the place of spiritual intercourse. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Some of us, one of the things that takes our attention is fashion, makeup, and dressing. You can, even when you are late for church, you must complete that makeup. You must complete. The husband, he said, come on, we are late. He said, okay. In fact, some people will even say, go, I will follow you later. I'm not saying makeup. My wife does makeup. She looks beautiful. I like it like that. Do you understand? But let me tell you, anything that is beginning to compete, to take the place, the love of God in your heart, be very careful about it. But some of us can spend time. We don't spend time like that to pray, to commune. But we can spend 1 hour doing makeup. May the Lord help us in Jesus' name. May the Lord help us in Jesus' name. Don't allow distraction. Some of us, God have to change our friends. Our friends. Some of us, we have some friends. We are so addicted to them. Even when we know that closeness is not bringing glory to God. It's bringing us backward, but we still prefer to keep them. Some even friends in ministry. I used to know somebody that is a servant of God like that. He would just come to me. He said, man of God, you know the anointing you carry is more than where you are now. And I'm beginning to feel, what's the meaning of that? Anointing is more than where I am. The way you do things, the way, and I feel he begins to bring something, you know, the way you are and people, politicians are coming, you're supposed to have your car, and you're supposed, the way I mingle with my spiritual sons back there, I invite them to my house. We sit on the dining with Jesus. You will, if you enter my parlor, you will not even know who is Pastor Tudy until they tell you. He said, you know, you are making them this close. They will begin to disrespect you. You have to show them the level. And in my spirit, the Holy Ghost said, keep a distance. He will contaminate and corrupt what I have put in you. So even some men of God, you have to quit. Oh. Some minister, you have to quit. Some friends in school, you have to quit. Some friends, colleagues at work, you have to separate yourself from them. And begin to spend time. Some of us, in the morning when we wake up, Father, thank you, you understand, in Jesus' name you go. In the place of work, spend even if it is 5 minutes. I remember there was a time in Yola, I went to buy something in a big supermarket and in a shop like that. And some people came and it was time for this Muslim prayer. And the Muslim man wanted to lock his supermarket and his shop. And some people came, they want to buy something of about 800,000 or 900,000 thereabout. And he now told them, please, can you wait for me to go and pray? They said, no, they're in a hurry. He said, then you can go. Then they told him, you don't know the amount. He said, how much? They said, 900,000. He said, and so what? If you cannot wait for me, then go, it's not my luck. I will go and pray. I was challenged. But do you know a Christian? He will be checking the phone inside the church. Hey, customer, he will go out. Eh? What did you say? And we want to buy something at 25,000. Then he will go and say, please keep my Bible for me and come. He has come. But this one, you are in the church. Oh, they call you, you went. But that one, he was lucky. He had not even been lucky. He said, let the money go to hell. He wants to go and pray. Can we, and do you know that it is this kind of behavior supposed to be for Christians, believers, love and passion for God? Imagine this man living 900,000 naira. How many of us can do that? But let me tell you, when you love God. Eh? In fact, that week, there was a particular week, God said, up your phone. That week, the governor of our state called me. He said, that week, he's going to call me in 3 days' time to know which of the day I will come in that week to pray for him. That was the week God said, off your phone. And I will off it. I will just think, I'll say, what if His Excellency calls now? Or should I go? The Lord will say, sit down here. Do you know when you spend time with God, God will compel everything that's supposed to be for you to wait for you. That thing will wait. Do you know that His Excellency waited? Even when I on the phone, he said, I'm sorry, I didn't get you. I said, yes, I went somewhere to spend time with God. He said, okay, no problem. Can you come? So. Oh, don't worry, I'm coming to Ukari. When I come, I will see you. Settled. Let me tell you, where God wants to take you, you can only go there. In the place of prayer. In the place of partnership with the Holy Spirit. Now, as I conclude, do you know when Jesus was to be born? That's, I'm coming to where the lead pastor said something that really touched me. You cannot be effective in what you do without the instrumentality of the Holy Spirit. Before Jesus was born, Mary needed the power of the Holy Ghost for her to conceive. True of us. It was not because the angel came and gave the announcement that the thing happened. No. It was because the Holy Ghost was involved. Even when Jesus was born, do you know it was the Holy Spirit that led the wise men to where Jesus was located? That star you saw, the Bible said, and a star led them. That star was the Holy Spirit. That star. He led them. And it is only Jesus said in John 14 and John 16, he said, the Holy Ghost will glorify me. He will reveal me to you. So the Holy Ghost revealed the location of Jesus to this wise man. And the Bible said, and the star stopped at the direct place where the child was. And even when the child grew up, the Bible said in Luke chapter 4, in Matthew chapter 4, he said, and he was led into the wilderness. Do you know, for him to even fast, the Holy Spirit has to lead him. A lot of us, our fasting is because of hunger strike. Because we woke up, nothing in the house, say, oh, thou sent the Lord, I will fast. But the Holy Ghost led him. The Holy Ghost led him into the wilderness. May the Holy Spirit lead us in what we do. Do you know, even when he came out from that wilderness and he went to where John the Baptist was, the Holy Ghost have to authenticate his ministry. The Holy Ghost have to seal the ministry. And guess what happened? When Jesus was killed and was buried, the Bible said in Romans chapter 8 verse 11, oh my goodness, if that same spirit that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead, if that spirit lives in you, what will happen? He will quicken. He will make alive. Other versions say he will vitalize. Do you know what it means? He will add vitamin. What vitamin does to the body, that's what the Holy Ghost will do for you. What is that telling you? For Jesus to even resurrect, he needs the ministry of the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Ghost had not intervened, Jesus will still be in the grave till today. Don't tell me you can do it without the Holy Ghost. Look at the disciple. Peter, a young lady, small girl, came and said, this guy, the way he's looking at me like this, it's like I saw him. He's with that Jesus. Peter said, me? Me? God forbid. In fact, other versions say, he swore. He said, I swear with my life. I don't know what she's talking about. I swear with my life. She said, okay, no problem. He went out. Another one said, I know this guy. He used to follow that Jesus. He said, small girl, you better respect yourself. An elderly man like me, you talk nonsense to me. I don't know what you are talking about. He was doing that because he was powerless. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, that same Peter that was doing boji-boji, that same Peter that could not boldly identify himself with Christ, when that power came, he said, men and brethren, I want you to listen. He said, this Jesus that you crucified, he is the one I am preaching now. He is the same person I'm preaching now. And the Bible said, without microphone, close to 3,000 people surrender their lives to Christ. The same Peter and John that healed a man in Acts chapter 4. They took them before the council. They said, we are warning you. Don't go and talk about that Jesus. He said, concerning this matter, do you want us to obey you or to obey God? It was the Peter that denied Jesus. Now, he said, we are not ready to obey you. We are not ready to even listen to you. Concerning this matter, we rather die. We are willing to give our lives. What happened? There was a manifestation of power. Some of you, as I begin to pray in the next 2 minutes, you will encounter power. You will encounter power. When I gave my life to Christ in 1996, I was preaching from 1997, 1998, 1999. People were gathering, but there was no power. There was no resolve. People will come and go back the same. There was impact. So I know what to do. At a very small age, I went and hid myself for 2 weeks. No food, no water. I came back. Before, I used to look, you know, this fool and he's very slim. So when I fasted, I became like a broom. When I came to town, I was moving like this. And my father said, this Christianity, it is not with you they started it. Do you want to kill yourself? Let me tell you, the next crusade I organized, I just stood up. I started singing. One person ran from the back. He ran from the back. I want to repent. This time around, no altar call. The power. Because I went to spend time, the power came. And in the course of the program, like I told you yesterday, I even asked one of my sisters to stand up because she attends meetings. And we hear somebody will say, I am healed. What happened? He said, we brought him here blind and he can see. We brought him here dead and he can hear. Yesterday I wanted saying, if you have sick people like that, you can bring them so that we can pray and see the power of God in action. And pastor said that some people are going to get healed here today and it's going to happen in the name of Jesus. So when Jesus was going, as Jesus was going to heaven, he gathered these guys together. He said, I don't have any gift to give you, but there is someone that will come. When he comes, ye shall receive power. After the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Now, when you receive that power, what will that power do? Ye shall be my witnesses. Ye shall be my witnesses. You can imagine. The only thing Jesus could leave for the disciples was the Holy Ghost. This is to tell you how important the Holy Ghost is in the ministry of priests, in the ministry of any believer. Today, when you receive this power, I know some of you have received it already, but there is going to be, it's coming in an increasing measure. It's coming, things you don't believe you do, he will begin to help you to do some creative things. When the Holy Ghost comes, things that are impossible will begin to work for you. Things that you have tried hitherto and has not worked, now when you try it, it will begin to work because the Holy Ghost is involved. That difficult subject in your school, when the Holy Ghost is involved, he's the spirit of excellence. When he comes upon you, our pastor talks to us about the wisdom, how Jesus silenced the Pharisees and the Sadducees with words of wisdom. I see that coming upon somebody. Shakataka.
Oh, your name is holy. Holy. For your name, holy, your name is Lord. For your name, holy, holy, holy Lord.
To say, Lord, I know it is not by might, it is not by my power, but it is by your spirit. You tell God, or you want to say, Lord, I have been trying it on my own all this while, but my strength has failed me. Today I want to try you. Holy Spirit, I need you now more than ever before. I want to spend time with you. If you want the Lord to impact you, You want the Lord, the Holy Spirit to fill you. Wherever you are, can you just lift up your hands? In 1 minute, begin to say, Holy Spirit, just fill me. Fill me with your presence. Just fill me. Open your mouth. Begin to pray in tongues. Begin to ask Him to fill you. Ask Him to fill you. Mashakatalia basondo bohola. Lirekonina hasiatala. Lezukapa lakatala. Enkotalata. Mazine nehea. Lego shapa lakata. Elekete. Lakata eleta tata lekopa rakata eko kakata mendo orbo shaka legeta e shakata eyakata tata tata ekopa rakata shekedekedekedesh yakapata lekopa shatata leketesh. In Jesus' name we pray. Holy Spirit, we thank you. Thank you for speaking to us. Thank you for revealing yourself to us in this dimension. Thank you because we know our lives can never remain the same. As we go, continue to brood upon us until we come to that image and likeness of Christ. Holy Spirit, we look up to you. We say it is not by our strength. It is no longer by our effort, but it's going to be by your Spirit. We therefore look up to you. We lean on you. We trust you, blessed Holy Spirit. Teach us to wait. Teach us to wait. Say they that wait upon the Lord, you will renew our strength. And then we shall mount up with wings as eagle. You say we shall run and not be weary. We shall walk and not faint. Teach us, Lord, to wait. The grace and the ability to sit and wait upon you. We receive it even in this congregation. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Anyone that is sick in this place, in Jesus' name, I rebuke that infirmity. You diabetes, get out of that body. Asthma, I command you, get out now. Ulcer, HIV, hepatitis, whatever kind of infirmity in the lives of God's people, in the name of Jesus, get out. You are healed. You are healed. You are healed. You are healed in your body. If you are standing for somebody, maybe a family member, I command that person, wherever that person is, let that person also receive his healing or her healing. In the mighty name of Jesus. Yes. 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 Malekando borobo shinta. That lady on red, call her for me. This one. I'm rounding up now. Come. Just lift up your hand.
I'm seeing a prophetic gift on you. At the count of three, let the anointing of God's Spirit come. Shagata. Shagata. Marakondo Boshiata. Your eyes open, your ears open. The anointing of God's Spirit rest upon you. Shagata. Lekopananama. It is released. Take her to her seat. Just lift up your hands and begin to bless God. Begin to appreciate the Lord. Begin to appreciate the Lord. Begin to say, Father, thank you. Thank you for how you have moved in our midst. Thank you, Holy Spirit of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Put your hands together for the Lord.
Hallelujah.
This message was brought to you free of charge by the partners of the Cornerstone Church Enugu. For more resources and downloads, please visit our website at thecornerstoneministries.org. Our faith is based on the Word of God. It transforms us and it bears fruits for us.